Oh, here's my daughter going off.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
Hey, 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 hey. We back. We here. Bro Talk Live, the best show on the internet for you by us. Bro Talk, always on the market, your man Jason. Guys, we finally get to speak to the people. What's up, Dex? How you doing, bro?
Good, but is it safe to say always on the mark? Because we haven't been on in quite a few days.
You're right. You know, I think we had to revise that. Sometimes on the mark, partially on the mark. Maybe.
Depending on how YouTube feels about us.
Depending on how you define mark. Bill, how you doing, sir?
I'm here shooting for some sort of mark, I guess.
You know, it's worth something. So I appreciate you guys all for hanging out with us. We've been undergoing some technical difficulties. We decided that we were just going to bring the podcast and say forget the live show for this moment, because it's important that we get content out there and not necessarily how we get the content out there. Right, guys? So we're going to try to give you the best show as possible. Dex, do you have a story for us? You haven't talked to the people in a couple of weeks. How are you?
I have a lot of stories, actually. But one of the stories that I really wanted to put out is, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys are on Facebook right now, you're doing that ask the questions type of thing. Like, let it go.
You don't like it?
No, I'm sick and tired of going on Facebook and I'm seeing people with the most ratchetest comments. Like, and it's like, we're not in college anymore. Like, we cannot be posting stuff like this. We have careers, and like our coworkers are seeing you talking about how you throw it back to some anonymous man or anonymous
woman. Get it back.
We got to do better.
Bill, how have you been these last couple of weeks?
I've been land of living, working like a workhorse.
There we go. I was about to say, let's not use those connotations anymore.
Well, I've been working.
The Hebrews had slaves too, but we're the only ones that they think about when they say slaves. So,
well, because we clearly the only ones that do the work.
We do the work.
Here we go.
back like we never left.
Right.
All right. Ty's not joining us this week, but he will be back hopefully in the weeks to come, and he'll say hi to you then. All right, guys, let's get into a little bit of news. Wendy Williams is in the news because, as we tried to report a couple of weeks ago, she filed for divorce and all this stuff because her husband was cheating on her and she had to enter a sober house and all this other kind of crazy stuff. Well, this is what she had to say, and she finally came out on her show and addressed the whole situation.
You know, I've been dealing with issues with addiction, alcoholism, and I have a whole new life that I plan for myself and my son. And believe me, you, when you lay in a room with no TV and four gray walls all day and no telephone at your already, and you lay there and you think about your life, this is my life at the sober house. It's one of the best things, honestly, that could have ever happened to me. Because, you know, when you think about your life, you think about, you know, how you've been delivering to the world, especially here on the show. You know, it's no secret, we're friends, and sometimes you don't like me. But either way, thank you for watching every day. But, you know, you wear a different mask when you're out here. Everybody has, including you, whether you're a secretary or a school teacher or whatever, everybody has things in their life that they're embarrassed to share with the world, or they're frightened to share with the world, or they're not ready to share with the world. And addressing my sobriety, my addiction head on, has really helped me sort out every single compartment of my life.
All right, so that was from Wendy Williams saying that she has sorted out every single part of her life as part of this sober house experience. There's also some news that came out from Love B. Scott, and he's saying that Wendy Williams had a little bit of a fun time getting the papers served to her soon-to-be ex-husband, Kevin. They say that Wendy served Kevin by disguising the divorce papers as a present completely wrapped with big bows when Kevin opened the box thinking it was a gift of some sort. The process server uttered those famous words, you have been served. The source continues that he is no longer allowed to go to the Wendy Williams show, and his passcodes have been changed and his access has been revoked. And Wendy has instructed staff not to let him anywhere near her. They said he kind of had a fit the other day because he went up there trying to get into the studios, and they promptly escorted him off. He had a whole cussing fit and everything else. But he did release a statement to, I don't know if he released it to TMZ or People Magazine or something like that, but this is what he said. I am not proud of my recent actions, and I take full accountability and apologize to my wife, my family, and her amazing fans. I'm going through a time of self-reflection, and I'm trying to right some wrongs no matter what the outcome or the future is. We are still the Hunter family. Tell that to Wendy. And I will continue to work with and fully support my wife in this business. I ask that you please give me and my family privacy as we heal. So Wendy Williams being very transparent. Kevin, I guess, kind of admitting that he's made some wrongs too. But someone who has decided to keep their relationships off of the out of the public eye and off of the internet is none other than Monica. She's, if you guys haven't heard, or do you guys watch this T.I. and Tiny's Friends and Family Hustle? You know, he they have the Family Hustle, but they only have
I haven't caught an episode, sorry.
You haven't?
It comes on Mondays. Like, I watch wrestling on Mondays. I don't got time for that.
Bill, have you ever heard of this show?
I've heard of it, but I certainly am far too busy to be watching it.
Apparently it has, looks like LaToya Luckett, Tiny, T.I., Toya, and Monica. I guess it's just their friends, and they decided to get a reality show. But Monica, who is going through a divorce with her husband, Shannon Brown, she's refusing to talk about her situation on air and on camera. And that's going to the dismay of a lot of the show producers and showrunners and writers, because they can't necessarily write a storyline because Monica refuses to talk about it, you know, in the public eye. And a lot of people aren't upset about her about it. With her about it, I should say. A couple of opinions here. Thank you, Monica. Just because you're an entertainer, that does not mean that you have to allow the world into your personal life with your husband and children. Be still and know. Ooh, Bill, that's a word. Be still and know. Ain't that a Yolanda Adams song?
I think it is. She also has one called Step Aside, which some of these people ought to do.
Be still and know that God can still work it out for you if you so desire. Be blessed. Keep silent.
There's no ED on any of that?
Be blessed.
I can't.
That's what your first lady had that campaign for. Guys, people are saying that Monica needs to, you know, just start talking about it, especially if she signed on to be on this reality show. Do you feel like it's her responsibility to talk about her personal life because she's getting a check to do so?
I don't think so. I think, like, it's one of those situations where it's like, yes, like, I'm on a reality show, but in reality, I'm not walking around discussing the situation. Like, it's a private situation that I'm dealing with, but I'm not talking about it. So, like, while I'm on the reality show, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But, like, this topic is off limits for me, period. Like, I don't talk to my friends about it. I'm not talking to a therapist about it. I'm just dealing with it internally. Like, that would be boring for you to shoot me just sitting on the couch thinking. You know?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You got everybody all riled up when you got engaged, showed off that daggone ring on Instagram, carried on in every one of your little boomerangs.
She definitely put them in the video, too.
On that Snapchat.
Yeah.
And now you're going through the divorce, honey. We want to know the details. You come on and give it to us. You pulled us in for the marriage. Now we want to be divorced, too.
Now, with the Wendy Williams thing, though, like, I do think that is the most clever way I've ever heard anybody serve somebody with divorce papers. Could you imagine him standing there with his new baby in his arms and thinking, like, oh, wow, I got a gift in his divorce papers?
Unbelievable, right? I mean, but when it comes down to Monica, like, it's reality shows are supposed to talk about basically what you're going through in that moment, right? So people know that Monica is going through this. So people are watching the show because of that. So it's kind, I'm not saying she has to talk about her most personal stuff, but she has to address it in some way, because that's why people are watching the show. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what are they going to follow you doing otherwise?
Well, I mean, there's 17 other people on the show. Watch one of them.
17? For the family. No. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't know. It's a tricky situation. But I do think it's a little, it's rough for the writers, I guess. It puts them in a tricky situation because it seems like they're kind of trying to exploit Monica for this $50,000 a year they're probably paying her. But
why do we have writers on a reality show? That's the problem.
You know. Sean, what's her name? Not Shonda Rhimes. What was the other one that does Love and Hip Hop? What's her name?
Mona.
There we go. That one. You know she's good for a good script, so.
Good for it. Because these people be in the studio and ain't heard nail lick of music yet.
Not nary.
What I will say, though, with the Mona Scott Young ones, the VH1, the Love and Hip Hop series, they might not be producing music, but the one guy on there, Kirk, and him and Rashida, he was producing babies on the side, and they actually have the baby. So that's some reality there.
All right, moving on. Tiger Woods. Bill, did you watch the Masters?
So I didn't get a chance to watch the Masters because I had drill. However, I checked every 10 minutes and it was exhilarating.
You missed it. Oh my gosh, what a time. Tiger Woods, if you haven't heard, won his first golf tournament since 2008, 11 years. Well, not his first golf tournament, his first major golf tournament. He won the U.S. Open back in 2008. Did you know he was actually the number one player in the world in 2014? I saw ESPN today, and I said, when did I miss that? Like, I totally missed that, but whatever. He has made his remarkable return as he has won his fifth Masters tournament. Now, we're not going to get into the name of that. We all know that that name kind of connotates a sort of racist sentiment because the tournament is held in Georgia. It seems like on a plantation in someone's backyard. And it's titled The Masters, but that's an argument for a different day. He won the tournament and he was rewarded by Donald Trump. Trumpy said, spoke to Tiger Woods to congratulate him on the great victory he had in yesterday's Masters and to inform him that because of his incredible success and comeback in sports and more importantly, life, I will be presenting him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, all caps.
Here's the thing. Stop that right now. I've been here the entire time. I could have spoken. Okay. I know Tiger Woods a long time. He's a great guy. Okay, folks, he's great. And I spoke to him yesterday to congratulate him on the great victory he had. Oh man, the Masters was something else, folks. I had all the maids down at Mar-a-Lago watching and cleaning and such. Oh, I had, Consuela. And they were watching. I had everybody watching down from Mueller to Bill Barr. Everybody was watching Tiger, you know, and he has had an incredible, you know, comeback story in life. And I will be presenting him. This is big, folks. You got to listen. With the Russian Medal of Freedom.
The Russian Medal of Freedom. That's what you can give him.
I'm sorry. Russian, presidential, Korean. It's all the same thing at this point, folks. He's getting it. It's huge.
All right. Well, Tiger is getting a lot of people that support him, getting a lot of people that are criticizing him because of his past. One person, former San Diego Chargers kicker Nate Kading, some words I thought I'd never say on this show, grew up with Tiger and MJ as idols. I felt like MJ was never human, always clutch, always. Tiger was that until the last 5+ years. As life's curveballs came at him, he was humanized, and that makes him more lovable. The dude's flawed like all of us, rooting for him, hard not to. So, guys, how do you feel about Tiger winning? People are upset because it seems like we're supporting someone who is an adulterer and someone who went against the black community back in his earlier days and said that he was everything except being 100% black. How do you feel about Tiger winning this tournament? Are you excited? Does it mean anything at all to you?
So for me, I don't know, maybe Jason, I think you might know, but Tiger Woods has always been my favorite golfer ever since I played golf. So quick story,
I used to play everybody golf. Every black person's favorite golfer, you know what I'm saying? He has to be, right?
Well, no, prior to that, like Jack Nicklaus was actually my favorite golfer.
He was Tiger in the fucking 70s,
right? But his style of playing like transcended time. Anyway, Tiger Woods became my favorite golfer. I used to play with this golf program called the Leon A. Sullivan golf program, and he put on a golf clinic that we attended. It was like strictly for like the poor.
The poorest, the underprivileged.
The underprivileged, that's the word. But he allowed us to see how he messes up during a game, but he allowed us to see golf in a different light. And Tiger Woods did that for me, and it was an amazing experience. And so this comeback, watching Tiger do this, is just proof that he is the greatest golfer of all time, and that it is literally the biggest comeback in sports history. It was inspiring, honestly.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that when he was going through all the scandal and the sex addiction and the sex addiction rehab and the DUIs, did you have that issue where it's like, I can't separate the man from the person, or was it like, I still support him because I like what he does on the field?
I supported Tiger Woods because I understood that, and even for me, and even like, and I say a lot of stuff on the show, but for me, I understand, especially because I look at my own life, that people have issues and people have their own things that they have to work out. And so in them working it out, it just so happens that he is in a public eye working out the details of his life. But for him, I've his art and his craft is just bar none for me. His discipline, it's amazing. So I've always rooted for Tiger. He's my favorite golfer.
Do you feel the same way about Kobe Bryant?
No.
Yeah, I love Kobe. Yes.
Bryant was never. I mean, I get what you're saying, Dex, because they both had that little scandal thing going on. Kobe was accused of rape. One,
right.
Tiger Woods was never accused of rape. He was just a womanizer. But B, Kobe always seemed more personable to me than Tiger Woods, just because I don't know.
Black.
Really? Well, he's really black. You can't say someone's really black. That doesn't. What does that mean?
But because I don't think Tiger Woods is black. I don't see it, and he doesn't either.
I mean, but still, Kobe's always been more personal. I feel like Kobe Bryant's my favorite athlete of all time. You guys know that. Kobe's my favorite athlete, and not only his arrogance, but his greatness. So I just feel like Kobe is more personable. I feel like he's an actual person, where I saw Tiger as a machine. Back when he was winning, when he was in the mid-2000s, you know what I'm saying, the early to mid-2000s, he was a machine. And he didn't have any friends on the tour. He didn't have any friends in the media. So it was just like he was a loner. So I feel like this whole thing, since he's been through the downs in the public eye, he got addicted to pills, you know, saying he had all those back surgeries, you know, the Elon Nordgren thing and all that stuff, the Lindsey Vonn thing. So it just seems like he's gone through a whole lot, and it's good to see him, you know, crawl his way back up to the very top. Now he's ranked, I think, 6th in the world. So that's amazing. I mean, he's 43 years old.
It is. I just was curious because I know when we talk about things like entertainers, we're always we can't separate the art from the person.
Yeah.
But with sport, I think that doesn't really people don't have that same issue. And I think that's the reason why, a lot of times with the NFL, we'll see a domestic violence situation happen. And then we're or even a rape situation happen or something like that. And it's oh, they kind of swept it under the rug. But I think that's because that's the culture that we're in.
Do you think also it has to do, this is interesting the way you said that, because do you think it also has to do with because with musicians and, you know, saying a musical artist or whatever you want to call them, these are people whose words we're repeating. So it's it's a little different if I'm listening to an R. Kelly song, I feel different because I'm singing his words. I'm not necessarily... You know, it's different for an athlete. I'm not playing the game with them. I'm not their teammate. So,
see, for me, the thing about that with music, with artists and musicians, is not only are you singing their words, but the intent behind what they said was probably as perverted as the deeds that they're
doing. Yeah, now that you look back on it, right? Yeah, exactly.
How disgusting are you?
When I hear age ain't nothing but a number, going down ain't nothing but a thing, that has a totally different connotation now that I know the history between him and Aaliyah and the history between him and all these other underage girls that he's alleged to have, you know, frolicked with. So it's definitely creepy now when you hear stuff like that. Kobe Bryant's sexual life has nothing to do with his basketball game. So like you said, you kind of pass one off. It's easier.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just curious. I'm really happy we had that conversation.
Yeah, interesting, you know? All right, moving on. Reggie Bush, Now, speaking of athletes and sports players, Reggie Bush is making news because he wanted to set up a GoFundMe for Nipsey Hussle. This is what he said on Instagram with his wife about what he was going to do for Nipsey and his family.
I want to tell you guys about an amazing initiative that we've been able to put together in honor of the late, great Nipsey Hussle. In partnership with GoFundMe and with the help of our marketing team over at CAA, we have been empowered by Lauren London, Nipsey's girlfriend, to put together a GoFundMe account that directly benefits Nipsey's two kids, Imani and Cross.
We feel so blessed that we got to live at the same time as a spirit such as Nipsey's. Mm-hmm. You know, God got to work through a man who found his purpose on this earth, touched so many lives, and hearing his mom speak about his beautiful spirit moving to an eternity where he's going to have no boundaries, no limits. Yeah. He'll be able to be amongst each one of us.
All right, none of that actually matters. They spoke for a little bit and asked people to donate to this GoFundMe account.
What language are they even speaking?
Well, Jason, I have to disagree with you. I think something there really did stick out to me. And I think that from now on, when people throw GoFundMes out, they have to say in partnership with GoFundMe. Clearly, GoFundMe has nothing to do with this, except that's the platform that y'all are using. I love
how he said he was empowered by Lauren London, because turns out he wasn't. Karen Civil, who used to be the manager for Nipsey Hussle, put this on Twitter to Reggie Bush. Please remove this tweet, as this was privately asked of you already. The family nor Lauren requested this, and you did it anyway. Reggie saw this tweet and decided to release a very long Instagram message. Wait, what? Nah, that's actually incorrect. Check your facts. What would I gain from this, Karen Civil? And this is the very last time I will speak on it out of respect, R-E-S-P-C-T, for everyone. Mm. God bless you. He went on to basically say, I have nothing to gain from this. Absolutely nothing. Not sure where this came from or who you spoke to, but you're sadly mistaken. I was wondering why I was getting all of this comments on the video. My time is already busy as it is. I like to see a receipt. I really would.
Listen, I need to see a receipt for that one.
My time is already busy as it is. I would never even put forth the effort to take on a project like this unless I got someone's blessing. Get to this one. You ready? Here goes my favorite line of the whole thing. This is hard to do, and a lot of young black kids never make it out of that. I never in a million years thought we received the kind of backlash. We got so many hate DMs and comments from people who couldn't see that this was just bigger than money. This was never about me.
Stop it right there. That line lets us know this was always about you.
That's the line. That he never even knew the man. Like, he even admitted, he said, although I never knew him. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you set up a GoFundMe for someone you never even met? How do you feel about Reggie Bush giving this GoFundMe? Do you think it was wrong for him to set it up? Do you feel like people are overreacting and just trying to take their anger out on somebody and he just happens to be the guy? What do you think?
Is Reggie Bush still unemployed? We need to start a GoFundMe for him.
Well, I think it was noble of Reggie to do
it. You think it was noble?
I think it was noble. Yeah, like he said, like, what do I have to gain from this? Like, I'm not making any money off of this. I'm not stealing any money. This man literally lost his life. He has two kids that need to be taken care of, and everyone is saying how much they want to support him, and everybody's talking about how much they want the kids to do well in life and everything. Why not try to make some money, put it aside for these children? Their dad is no longer here.
He already did that. Right.
Yeah, there's reports out that the kids are fine. They own a casino. They want to own a casino in Las Vegas and all that stuff. So apparently the kids are well taken care of. And Lauren says she doesn't need any donations.
It's not going to kill this kid. Making a little bit of extra money is not going to kill these kids. Trust me. Like, it's okay. If he's
never
doing
have enough,
what he's
you know, that's what I say.
Money.
You never have enough money, right?
If you got $50 million and y'all struggling to get me $100,000, no thanks. I don't need your struggle money when I got my at-ease money right here. Like, I don't get it.
So you feel like he shouldn't have been attacked?
No, like, what are you attacking somebody for trying to do good for somebody? Like, if it was one of those things where he put it out there and then he got the money and never gave it to the kids, never gave it to the family, then okay, like, you're pushing it. But if you did it and you did right by the family, like, I don't see the issue.
Well, it never got to that point because Karen Civil was shut down.
But I just think that, like, if she's not donating the money to the kids, and I'm not saying that she's not, but if she's not writing checks to the kids, whatever, making sure they're taken care of for the rest of their lives and all that, then, like, maybe you should just back off.
Well, as the manager, and, like, I don't know if she's officially the spokesperson for the Hustle family or whatever, but I feel like she feels a duty to defend them. So if she feels like someone is using Nipsey's name to try to get some sort of clout or notoriety, especially when that person has never met him. Like, wouldn't you feel funny if someone tried, I'm not going to speak anything on your family or whatever like that, but just say someone close to you died. Like, say I died, and then someone that you know never knew me decided to set up a GoFundMe for my family. Wouldn't you say something about that?
We're going to talk about them in group chat is what we're going to do.
But personally, I don't know if we would still have a group chat if Jason wasn't around. But I would personally.
The linchpin. That's what I am. I'm the linchpin in all this, right?
But I would just make sure that, like, the money's going to the right place. Like, I would check with your family and be like, is this going to the right place? Because if not, like, I'm going to say something about it.
Well, maybe she didn't know where it was going.
The same person who said while we was out shopping for Christmas that if somebody came up and robbed him, he would let them take all everything he had with a knife. He ain't checking nothing. You're going to have to send me the check to make sure you're really coming.
If somebody says that they're going to do something, like, I'm one of those people that, like, I'm a man of my word. So if you say you're going to do something, like, I expect you to do that. Like, I expect you to be a man of your word. And if a person comes up to me, well, like the example you just said, person comes up to me and says, give me all your money, I'm going to kill you. As I'm a man of my word, I believe that person's actually going to kill me if I don't give them everything that I have. So I got to give them. Got to be a man of your word.
So that's the problem, Dex. You're too honest. And people are not people of their word. Like, literally, people say they're going to do things every single day. Or they say they're not doing it. Like, we're going to make sure Jason gets all his money. And here we are. Like, we got to do a fish fry to put him in the ground. Where money at?
Have you ever had a fish fry for a funeral?
Not me. Everybody I know has life insurance. That's good.
We should get sponsored by life insurance.
There was a time I didn't know nobody that had life insurance. So, yes, I've been to plenty of fish fries for funerals.
I feel like Liberty Mutual should sponsor us for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I feel like that would be a good partnership.
The fish fries? Sponsoring up the fish fries.
All right, you guys don't have this in your notes. We're going to move on to Michelle Obama. I forgot to fill in the notes for that one, but you just follow along. Just listen to me here. Michelle was speaking in an interview in London for her book, Becoming. And when speaking about President Donald Trump, this is what she had to say. She said, we come from a broken family. We're a little unsettled. Sometimes you spend the weekend with divorced dad. That feels like fun, but then you get sick. That's what America is going through. We're living with the divorced dad. So divorced dads everywhere were offended because she compared them to Donald Trump. Would you say, Bill?
Did you say Michelle?
Yes,
said that?
Michelle Obama. She said that. So divorced dads everywhere are pissed. Someone said that we didn't know that you could be just as offensive as President Trump. Guys, do you feel like Michelle should apologize for what she said?
No. The president is still walking around here grabbing women by the... No. He ain't apologized yet.
But she offended
divorced
dads everywhere. I feel like that's...
They shouldn't be terrible.
But she says it's given a stigma to dads everywhere that take care of their kids the right way, and it's hard enough for them to deal with the stigma of being a divorcee, and she just casts...
You point me out five of them.
Dex, do you have a problem with this?
Bring me five to the forefront, and then we'll have
an Obama critic, Dex, do you have a problem with this?
I'm an Obama critic. Like, that's my thing.
That's what it says under your name. Like, when I put your little lower third up there, Dexter Stuckey, underneath it says Obama critic.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, I get what she's saying. I can also understand why people be upset about it, too.
All right. Squint.
Dude, that was nasty. There's so much he has to
say. He didn't like that I called him Obama critic.
Yeah, because you know people hear stuff like that and they try to go off them off.
Surely it's a sweet answer. All right, moving on. Because we have lots of show to get to, and you know, saying we're already half an hour in to the show. All right, so you guys have the references for this one. Pastors in Shoes. There's a whole thing going on, an Instagram account that's come out called Preachers Sneakers, and Preachers in Sneakers, I should say, with the N, just an N. And it posts pictures of megachurch preachers, megachurch pastors, in designer footwear. With such captions as John Grace icing everyone out in the prayer in the Yeezys 2s, and he also posts pictures of how much each shoe that they're wearing costs. The Yeezy 2 that John Gray's wearing here is worth $3,700. He also has a photo of some pastor, I don't know who he is, but he's wearing Gucci slippers for $1,100. So there's tons of pictures here. Some of the reactions that people are getting or giving on Instagram say, I don't know who half these people are that you're harassing, but it's obvious that the time you're spending evaluating the cost of people's apparel could be used doing anything else beneficial, like taking out your trash instead of having it pile up on Instagram. Someone else said, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Why do all these preachers need to dress in the most worldly fashion? This is straight up ridiculous. And some of these pastors are pastors to celebrities like Justin Bieber and Bradley Cooper. And someone like that is a pastor. I think his name is Stephen Furtick. He was wearing a pair of Nike's, the Jordan 1 Retros, the shattered backboard color. Those are the orange and black ones. And those cost $965. And he's notably famous for wearing a lot of crazy gear. Like I say, once again, he's the pastor, I think, for Hillsong in New York. But there's some criticism going about it. As a pastor preparing to make $38,000 a year, this guy said, at a little over 50 hours a week, I'm looking to make about $14 an hour. I can make more money flipping burgers at McDonald's. And if I did that, I'd probably get health care and a retirement match as well. Not going for sympathy, but this account is doing a great job calling out all of those who are doing this wrong, because it makes those of us trying to do it right look bad too. How do you feel about pastors dressing in high fashion, things that are worth more than a lot of their congregants can afford, in order to minister God's word? Bill, as a minister, how do you feel about this account existing?
I feel like it's dumb. Like, this is dumb. Number one, a lot of, like, for example, these orange and black, these backboard retro ones retail for $180. Yeah, if you buy
them, but they only sell like 30 of them. So yeah, they're going to be on the resale market.
But that's number one. Number two, people assume, and people have been assuming, that these pastors, or pastors in general, because I've had this conversation with people, are just taking the tithe money and going to buy these fancy things. First of all, people don't even tithe that much. That's number one. That's the first thing. Y'all don't even tithe that amount of money. The majority of churches, because I've talked to other pastors, I've seen church finance reports. Most churches are struggling financially unless they have like 500,000 people like Joel Osteen. That's number one. Number two, a lot of other pastors are retired or have businesses or have jobs, and they make the money that they like that is ridiculous. No lie. I had somebody actually ask me about clothes that I wear or like jackets that I have. Don't question where I get my money. I'm not stealing from you. Like, beat it. I don't want to steal. That's the last thing I got time to do is steal from your little poor behind.
See, now, well, like, you lost me like a lot though, because at first, because we posted this on the Instagram story. Go ahead.
What was the percentages? What did they say on the Instagram story? Should we be concerned with what pastors are spending money on? The two choices were 100% and mind your business. 100% got 17% of the vote, and mind your business got 83% of the vote.
Yeah. Now, and I was probably one of those people who said mind your business, because like, I don't care how anybody dress. I could care less what people are wearing on their bodies, whatever. But I think the part that kind of got to me, Will, what you just said is that a lot of these people, a lot of these churches are struggling financially. To me, like me hearing you say that kind of turns me off a little bit, because if the church is struggling financially, people are still donating and tithing and giving their money. I just don't think that you should wear something like that if you know the people around you are struggling. That's like living in the hood and driving a Lexus. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
So most pastors are dedicating, if they are working another job, 80 to 90% of their own money to the church. Like, I don't understand. Like, why is it an issue that I'm driving a Maserati, or I'm driving a BMW, or I'm driving a Bentley? If we are supposed to be talking about the God of the world who created heaven and earth, why do the people of God have to struggle? Like, that's been one of my biggest issues. If I'm supposed to be giving the word to the people of God and I'm serving the God who created the world, why do I have to struggle while sinners can live in front of what people
are struggling? I'm not struggling, but you're buying absorbent priced shoes. Like, these shoes are thousands of dollars. Like, that's not struggling. Like, not struggling would be buying an $100 pair of Nikes, you know what I'm saying? But like, you're going out of your way to say, hey, I'm wealthy, I can afford these shoes. But to your point, one of the pastors said that, I didn't pay anything for this, this was given to me, and I'm wearing it because it was given to me. So
now I will say, now I can back that up, because with my job personally, people in my job are very well off. People who work there, people, their clients, people who pay into, like, they're very well off, and they don't pay for anything. Like, I mean, we're sending people to the Super Bowl. And this is like with media in general. Like, they're sending people to the Super Bowl. They're sending people to the Grammys. They're sending people on vacations. So these are people who can afford
that circle, and you're already ministering to people in that circle. Like, for instance, the guy who's the pastor for Justin Bieber, he has all of this fear of God stuff and all of this label heavy stuff. A lot of it is coming from Justin's line and his friend's line, Jerry Lorenzo, who is the creative director for Fear of God. So he's getting all this stuff for free, but are you pushing a sort, it also comes back to, are you pushing a sort of materialism on your congregants, because they see you wearing that stuff and they say, oh, well, I have to pay $1,000 because my pastor paid $1,000 for it. So what are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the clothes, or are you worshiping God? So I can get why people are kind of confused.
I don't think people should, like, pastors should be punished for liking to look nice. Like, some of the more expensive things are just good quality. Like, nobody, you shouldn't be punished for that.
Yeah. But you gotta admit, it's the optics of it too. Like, if people are paying money to something that they feel like should be a communal thing, and they see you, and if you're asking them to just donate 10% of their earnings and they're barely scraping by, and they see you coming up in a Maserati, the optics of it look bad. No,
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing. We are on one accord there.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, if I worked hard and I did what I needed to do, and my money can afford me a Maserati, you telling me I can't go buy one with the money I worked hard for?
I mean, some of them do have book deals and stuff like that.
I got to sit back and not do it because you can't afford one.
Book deals are very lucrative, and a lot of these ministers have book deals, so that's where they get their money. They have record labels and stuff like that. So it's just, I don't know, it's just...
But wait, but do hear me out. There are pastors out there. I'm not defending everybody. There are pastors out there that are like carrying on. That's why y'all need to pray and have discernment.
All right. Shall we move? Time for racist. Laura Ingraham's in the news because she was mocking Nipsey Hussle's death. She had a good laugh with someone over it. This is what she had to say.
In L.A., thousands lined the streets to say goodbye to rapper Nipsey Hussle. Now, this dear artist recently released a song called FDT. F Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Okay, now that's a very creative refrain.
Very catchy.
Very catchy.
Irving Berlin, look out.
Is it? It all began and ended with Irving Berlin for you, didn't it?
Yeah.
So the refrain, the chorus, it goes on and on. Is that related to the lowest unemployment ever, basically, for African Americans?
But now, for those who might not remember, this is 70s. Come on down.
Wasn't he on Hollywood Squares?
Nipsey Hussle.
So yeah, a lot of people have said that she had. Did you hear that laugh she let out?
It was tickled.
She had some a good ass style at that time, but did she not? People are pissed because they're saying that she's making fun of Nipsey's death and she's making light of it, basically just for a political point. And you know, Nipsey actually did. He's not the person who made FDT, that song actually belongs to YG. Nipsey's on the song, but it's not his song. So of all the songs they could have picked, the reason they picked that song is because it was political. So if they wanted to really honor Nipsey, he could have. The Game was very upset. He asked for Fox News to fire that quote-unquote C word. I'm not going to say the word because I don't want to offend anybody. What'd you say?
I don't get words.
Just making sure no one said it, because that's not accepted here. You got to get some suspensions going on. But he asked that they would fire her. Guys, do you feel like Laura should be fired for her blowable nature? Do you feel like people just need to get over it? Was it racist?
This is the kind of thing that I would expect from her. Like, they are ignorant. Like, that's just what I expect. I'm not like, no, but because they're ignorant, so I expect that from them.
The joy in that laughter.
That was a cackle.
That was a cackle. That's exactly what that was. Dex, were you offended when you saw it, or did you not care?
When I saw it, when I heard it and everything, I was just like, I could see why she would put that out there, just because it feeds the narrative that like a lot of people on Fox News want to feed, you know what I mean? And then like to even bring up, it's kind of like a black people aren't grateful and stuff like that. Cause to bring up the song and everything, it's just kind of like, I get it. And I disagree with that. You said, when you said it's not a Nipsey song, it's a YG song. I see that's an argument that people make. Yeah, I mean, Nipsey's on the song.
Hey, the song came out 3 years ago.
He agrees with it. Right, but he just died recently, yeah, so like I see why they're talking about
his song.
It.
Like, so if you look at Nipsey Hussle's career highlights, that FDT is not even in the first page.
Yeah, but like I can see why they would say that's Nipsey Hussle's song. He's on the song. Like I can it's okay that they said that. I don't have an issue with them saying that that's his song. I'm okay with that. My issue is that you're trying to make it a bigger argument than it is, and you're trying to say like you're trying to relate that to the unemployment rate of African Americans. Like that's my issue with this whole thing. Not necessarily like the semantics of whose song it is. Like that's not important. Like they're talking about this, the unemployment rates of African Americans, which Donald Trump actually hasn't helped a lot with that. Like people try to put this narrative out, but that's actually not the case. And nobody's calling them out on that. And I think that's what the issue is. Like I get it. We're offended. We're upset because they said something negative about Nipsey Hussle. Like I get that, but we really should be calling them out about the unemployment rate, because I've heard that narrative a lot and I'm like, well, let me check it out. And I've checked it out and it's not true.
He inherited basically all the stats that he's pushing out there, the lowest unemployment rate in history. He inherited the trend that was already going down. So I'm not saying that he deserves any of that credit. So, all right. We all agree Laura Ingraham is racist. Yes, no?
Laura, shut up and dribble. Ingraham 100%. Is definitely racist. For sure.
Absolutely. All right. That was the racist segment of the day. Time for Q&A. Bill, are you able to read it?
Q&A, this is where you Q and we A. Like, you bring us your life problems and we fix them. So we have four questions today. Number one would be free work for an interview. Number two, stains on the toilet seat.
God. Yeah.
Number three, getting paid from moms. Number four, check your damn email.
Stains on the toilet.
So what are we doing here, folks?
Y'all want to do stains on the toilet seat? Y'all brave?
Absolutely not.
You know I want to do them stains on that toilet seat. What's the second one we going to do?
Stains on the toilet seat. I feel like check your damn email is a good one, too. Or free work for an interview.
All right, so we're going to do number two. And so number one and number two?
Yeah, let's do number one, number two. Let's do those two.
All right, number one. This is from a guy. We'll call him Viewer. Viewer says, I've been job hunting for a while now without much success. I'm looking for creative ways to get noticed by employers, and I had the idea to send my resume along with a lottery ticket and the message, take a chance on meeting me. My thinking is that it's a cute way to stand out, and some hiring managers might be intrigued enough to call me for an interview. Do you see any downsides to this?
Yeah, they won't call you for an interview.
Do it and record it.
Well, I work in sales, and this is actually a tactic that we use. Like, this is something that, like, if you're trying to get in contact with a client and they're not answering you and they're not responding to your emails and everything, if you do this, this kind of make you stand out.
You put a lottery ticket in there?
So I think it depends on. Yeah, like you'll put a lottery ticket in there and you'll send it because then they'll see and it stands out to an advertiser or a hiring manager or something like that. Yeah, it definitely works. I've seen it. It's worked for me. Like, it definitely is something that I would recommend doing. But it really depends on what your field is, though. Like, if you're trying to be like a doctor or something like that, or something serious, or like a lawyer, or something, I don't necessarily think this is a good
what you
choice
do.
To do. Yeah, because I work in the creative space, and I feel like if you work in a creative space, yeah, like with us, this kind of stuff works. But if you're working in one of those, like, you know, more serious, like suited and booted type jobs, I don't think this is a good idea.
Oh, come through, you see, BJ. It? I don't know. I feel like if I was a hiring manager and I saw this, I would be like, I would just throw it in the trash.
I'm definitely.
But see, you work in academia, though, in tech. So, like, I can understand.
But I'm holding on to that lottery ticket, yeah.
Just in case.
I'm like, he over here trying to buy me.
Success. But let me hold successful. On. All right. Well, Dex's advice is to keep doing it. All right. Any downsides?
Depending on your industry.
People just won't take you seriously? Is that what you think?
You may stay unemployed.
Look, you're right where you're at now, so. I don't think there's any reason. So. All right, stains on toilet seat next. You ready?
Oh, Jesus. I just feel like this is going to be a try. Here we are. Stains on the toilet seat. I've been arguing with my boyfriend of a year over the state of his bathroom since we've been dating. I'm grossed out by it. He doesn't seem to mind that there are always beard trimmings on the surfaces where I like to put my makeup on in the morning. A floor I can't step on with bare feet and stray public hairs and stains in the toilet. Oh, you sure do. I was thinking about, I don't know what the hell I was doing. He argues.
Go back. Read that sentence again because I don't think they got the whole thing.
He doesn't seem to mind that there are always bare trimmings on the surfaces where I like to put my makeup on in the morning. A floor I can't step on with bare feet, and stray pubic hairs and stains in the toilet. He argues that he's not the only one who uses that bathroom, and his roommate is the main cause of the mess. I don't doubt this because my boyfriend's room is always clean, and the rest of the house isn't too bad either. But his roommate is like a tornado. My boyfriend doesn't want to be the one cleaning up someone else's mess, which I get. I also understand that it's a dingy old house, so to some extent, it will never, it will never be truly clean. What? But that doesn't change the fact that someone should be cleaning the bathroom at least, say, once a month.
A month?
What the heck? This has been at a stalemate for a while now. He'll say, I barely spend the night at his place, which is true. And I'll ask when the last time he cleaned the bathroom was, and he'll just roll his eyes. I'm seriously considering just not coming over to his place until he does it. I've threatened that before, but never really followed through. We're both fed up with this situation.
Move the hell out. Like, what the hell's the problem? Get him to move out.
That's your boyfriend going there and clean it. You so concerned? Because he clearly ain't concerned about it.
Like, yeah, if you're concerned and it's an issue, why don't you just move in together? You guys are boyfriend and girlfriend. You guys have been together for over a year. If it's a problem that you don't want to come over and see the toilet with piss all over it, then just move out. Dex, do you have any other better advice? I feel like that's the simplest answer.
No, I think what you said like makes the most sense. Like, get out.
I mean, maybe you're in a lease agreement where you can't, I guess, leave out. But I mean, I would just bounce. I mean, or clean it up. Get on your hands and knees and put them gloves on.
I just don't feel like anybody should be cleaning up after somebody else. So, like, that's a problem. I mean,
but you're a roommate, so you're going to, at some point, some degree, you're going to have to clean up after your roommate.
But also with the girl, like, who wrote this in, I would do what you said. I wouldn't come. I wouldn't go over there. Like, it's nasty. Y'all are dirty over here. I wouldn't be there.
But it's not him.
Y'all are dirty.
Y'all. Yeah, I feel like if you're living with somebody and they're dirty, you're dirty too. Like, you, because you should be talking to them about this all the time. Like, you got to clean this up. Like, come on. I really shouldn't even have to tell you this.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Just move on out. All right, that was Q&A. For more questions, hit us up, brotalklive.com/questions. Guys, don't look at the Jizzle Time because it has the answers in it, so don't cheat, please. Jizzle Time. I forgot to take the answers out. True or false, Martin was never, sorry, today's Martin's birthday, Martin Lawrence, so we're going to sit here and do a little Martin trivia for you really quick, and then we're going to get about your way. True or false, Martin was never nominated for an Emmy or a Golden Globe?
True.
Did you look at the answer?
I didn't know the answers for that one.
It was nominated for a few NAACP awards. It was also nominated for People's Choice. And some Kids' Choice Awards. But yeah, never an Emmy or a Golden Globe. Surprising. It's a great show. Should it be?
It was.
I mean, back then, probably not. Like, just because you know how things were back then. But now, Looking back on it, absolutely.
All right, although he played many characters on Martin, true or false? Although he played many characters on Martin, it isn't more than Eddie Murphy played in The Nutty Professor. True or false?
True.
So you think Eddie Murphy played more?
You said although he played.
So basically, did Eddie Murphy play more characters in The Nutty Professor, or did Martin?
Oh, true. Eddie Murphy played a whole family.
Actually, that's false. Martin played 9 characters on Martin. Eddie Murphy only played 6.
Really? Yeah.
Had to look that one up.
Interesting.
It's a fun fact right there. All right, and let's do a Martin project battle real quick. Let's just go back and forth until one person's left. All the projects you can remember Martin Lawrence in. I'll start with Martin.
Big Mama's House.
What'd you say, Bill?
Big Mama's House.
Big Mama.
Life.
Big Mama.
Bad Boy.
Hold up. We have to go in a circle. So I'm next. Celebrates his 20th year. I'll go Big Mama's House 2.
Bad Boys.
Woo! Blue Streak. That's with the heat. Bad Boys 2.
Is it on? Oh, what is that? It's a Spike Lee movie.
I feel like you out.
What? No, I'm not. You out, child. You got to hold on. I know it's a Spike Lee joint. I can call the name of that movie. You just got to give me a second to think about it.
Dude.
Oh, come on.
Burn him out. I can't think of it.
All right, Dex, go ahead.
Was he in Shrek?
He wasn't in Shrek.
No, Eddie Murphy was in Shrek.
Eddie Murphy, you out.
That sucks.
You're thinking of Do the Right Thing, Bill.
Oh, man.
Do the Right Thing. That's the one. Radio Raheem.
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah.
Oh, he definitely was.
He was also in Juana Man. Remember that movie?
I'm pissed. I lost it though because I was actually on a roll too. Like I was gonna say A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. I was gonna say Boomerang. What's Happening Now? He's gonna be in Bad Boys 4.
Bad Boys 3.
Damn.
It's 3. Who are you talking about?
I think it's 4.
There's never a third one. And it's it's Bad Boys for Life. But yeah, I can understand why you would think it's Bad Boys for Life.
I was about to say, I swore when I posted that it said Bad Boys 4, but that makes sense because it's a number 4.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's kind of misleading. Lame. Stupid. Happy birthday to Martin Lawrence. All right, time for Dex's BS for Poe.
All All right, guys. So you know the deal here. With the BS Report, we do it where it's three stories. Two of the stories are true. One of the stories are absolutely false. So the first story today is that, like, it is actually now being considered it's not illegal anymore to put dog poop in garbage cans. Like before it was illegal to do that, and now it is no longer going to be illegal to put dog poop inside of garbage cans.
Well, I would say, when was that illegal?
Guys, look, two truths and a lie.
If he asked you, you have to kind of still sell it, don't you? Even if it's a lie, you have to like answer follow-ups.
Okay, let me just get the three stories out first. All right, so there's a man in Michigan who is reportedly suing his girlfriend after she found his adult film collection worth $29,000 and threw it in the garbage. So basically what happens is the man was, you know, staying home from work and stuff like that, and his girlfriend's like, why is he always staying home from work? She was home late one day, found his porn stash, and threw it all in the garbage. And what she said was, there's no need for you to be looking through porn when you have me. A fun fact about this is the guy has been collecting his porn since he was in the fifth grade. So there was a lot of vintage pieces in there.
I got to go.
Right. Justin Bieber actually just got hit with a lawsuit because he accidentally ran over a photographer. So getting in his car, driving away, and a paparazzi member from TMZ was standing there, and he ran over the person's foot. All right, guys, what's the truth? What's a lie?
That first one has to be a lie. Like, when was it ever illegal to throw away dog shit? Like, that's all I do. Like, what else would I do with it? Flush it down the toilet?
Yeah, I'm going that one is a lie.
Especially since you wouldn't expand on it. Are you taking questions on that before we submit our answers? Where was that illegal? Was it federal law, state law? What are we talking here?
Right.
I don't know if it's federal or state. It's just illegal thing to do.
In America?
Everywhere.
Which America? Yes. North America or South America?
You be trying to get technical.
United States of America.
Now, about this Justin Bieber, where was he when he ran over the allegedly ran over?
You know, Los Angeles.
Okay, that number one story is a lie.
Well, hold up. Did the person that whose foot he ran over, were they a pastor and were they wearing designer sneakers?
No, they were not.
It's definitely true.
That's probably true then. All right, see, I'm going with number one's a lie.
This is perfect. What are you going with?
A lie also.
Great, you guys are both wrong. It is absolutely still illegal to do
that.
What
are you talking about?
How is it illegal?
It's currently illegal to throw your dog poop inside of a trash can. You are actually supposed to everywhere. You're supposed to scoop it up and actually throw it in, take it home with you, girl, and flush it down the toilet. And a lot of people also do this thing where they put it in rivers and stuff, and that's illegal too. Like, you cannot do this.
I can see why it's illegal to put poop in a daggone river, but to put it in a trash can, I don't understand that.
So they expect you. What if you're in a park? Yeah, they expect you to wrap it up, take it home with you, and flush it down the toilet.
Take it home.
And what I look like carrying around that shit with me all day.
Well, that's what it is. Now, the one that was a lie, though, is the porn stash story. It wasn't. No, that was the amount, but it wasn't his girlfriend. It was his parents.
Well, so the mom said, you don't need to watch porn if you got all this money.
Well, that part was a lie, too. No, and that has been Dex's BS Report for the week.
This just then, moms everywhere tell their sons, you don't need porn because you got me. All right. You guys have any further words to give to the people before we leave? Oh, yeah. Seats. Those are some words you can give to the people. Oh, Ty's out on vacation or whatever.
He didn't pay his cable bill.
He didn't pay his YouTube bill, neither did we. So C's are for people who have gotten on our nerves for the week, and we decide that they're doing way too much and they need to be seated. Guys, do you have a C for this week?
I do have a C for this week. I'll be quick with the C this week. So the other day, we run Bro Talk Live. It's our Instagram page that we run. And on Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays, we post things on the page. They're interactive. People can vote on them, have fun with them. And last week, we got a direct message from someone that I'm cool with. And he wrote in the message like, hey, guys, I know you probably won't make it because he's out of town. I know you guys won't make it to the actual event, but could you go into my bio and purchase tickets? Now, I personally have no issues with, I literally support every single person. But the message that he responded to was actually one of the polls that we put up. And I checked to see, did you respond to the poll? He didn't even respond to the poll. And like, you can't really see who's subscribing to the project or whatever, to the show. But like, I can almost bet the money of the admission that you're not subscribed to the show either. And you probably don't listen to the show. And I actually, he's a musician. That's, and I actually purchased,
not a musician.
I actually purchased his song from iTunes like a couple, like months ago, whenever it came out. I purchased it. And like, for me, like, I just think that's disrespectful to come to me on my platform and ask me to support you when you don't do the same thing for me. The song is fine. Like, again, I won't trash anybody, and I legit will support every single person on the planet, but you have to give it back to me. And the crazy part about it, I feel so comfortable doing this seat to him, because like, you're never going to hear it because you don't support this project.
Well, if you see One Less Power, you know he listened.
That's fine.
I am going to go ahead and give Dex a seat for calling him a musician. Musician is a loose word, guy, and we don't want to just throw these adjectives around.
Throwing these occupations around?
You did.
Oh, he's not a musician. That's what you said?
Well, for me, like, I'm not trying to trash anybody or come at him or say he's not doing anything, whatever. If that's what you like, well, you said you were a musician. I respected that. I gave that to you. Like, if you put something out, I would have supported it as well. This guy, he's working. He's putting this stuff out.
You don't have to put no music out to be a musician. You are a musician.
This guy, you don't think Bill's more of a musician than this guy?
I definitely am. I play 13 instruments.
What does that mean? Work?
Oh, okay.
Oh. I didn't know you had any work or anything.
Girl.
Any work?
I'm a boy.
That's enough. Boy, you've had enough.
All right. You want me to get my seat? My seat's going to go. I have a seat. I'm going to do it in honor of Ty. Seat for the neighborhood. My seat's going to go to my apartment complex. So a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to submit the payment for our rent, right? Because we could submit it online because, you know, it's 2019. So we're submitting it online and we have no problems. Normally, we've been living in the same complex for the last 4 years. It's a very nice complex, and we went to pay our rent. And when we paid it, it said payment pending. It says bank payment pending. Please wait until this payment is accepted or something like that. So I take a screenshot of it because I know, you know, just for a receipt in case someone asks why the rent didn't go through, that's why. So we get a notice the next day saying our rent's late or whatever like that. So I walk over to the leasing office. I show them the screenshot that I took of the message that we got, and they said they would forward that over to their manager. So we end up talking to the manager, and the manager says, okay. Well, I asked the manager, I say, so we're going to have to give her this late fee so we can pay the rent again because we received this message and we weren't able to pay. So she says, okay, well, looks like the late fee is going to have to stay because we did not receive the rent in our office by the close of business. I said, girl, it's because we couldn't, because it told us that a bank payment was pending. There's a reason why we didn't submit it, because it wouldn't let us submit it. So I send that back to her via email. So she responds back saying, yeah, well, I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to my boss. So 2 days go by. I received no response. The rent's still not being paid. And I have to walk over there. So I waltz over there and she's in the bathroom, and the little receptionist says she'll be out in a sec. So she comes out and I said, so what's the deal with the late fee? Are you going to be able to waive it or not? Because I'm not paying for this late fee for some issue that happened with your system. She responds back looking crazy. And she's like, oh, well, I was just going to call someone and see, like, because they say that you logged in and at 5 o'clock and it said that you tried to pay, but it didn't go through and you received the error. So I'm going to see, like, if they're willing to accept it. I said, it doesn't matter if they're willing to accept it. I'm not paying the money. So just take it off. And she said, okay, I'll get back to you. My problem is, don't look stupid in my face. Like, it makes sense. The reason I couldn't pay rent is because I couldn't pay it. Not because I didn't want to pay it. I clearly attempted to pay it because I have a screenshot proving it. So don't waste my time. Don't be stupid. Don't try to get an extra $75 of a late fee out of a tenant who has been here for 4 years and has never really gotten one. So
your late fee is $75?
Jason, you went through all that to tell us your checks ain't clear?
They removed the issue and the check did clear, bitch. So they got paid. Okay. Yeah, the checks weren't clean, but it wasn't my fault. And I tried to tell them that, and they tried to act like they didn't know who I was. And I had to remind them. So there we go. Bill, do you have a seat?
Not really. I can't give any of my seats.
Okay. Oh, that was anticlimactic.
It was, but I just really can't. I can't. Like, for legal reasons, I just can't give out any seats. Because all of my seats.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys hanging around.
Did not participate.
Thanks for hanging around. We appreciate you guys hanging with us over the past 3 weeks while we've been trying to work out this live show issue. In the meantime, we will continue to send you guys podcasts. Bill, are you down? Should we do this Game of Thrones thing or no?
Yes.
Yeah, do you think we should absolutely give the fans a Game of Thrones thing?
Not me, Ty,
and Dex. I mean, not Dex. Me, Ty, and Will. Whatever you guys' names are.
They track record. I don't know either.
All right, well, we'll think about it. If we did give you something, we're not going to tell you we're giving it. It's just going to pop up in the feed. But yeah, we love Game of Thrones, and we hope you guys do too. Every Sunday, you can check that out on HBO. Even though we're not getting a sponsorship for it, it deserves to be told. Guys, do you have any other shout-outs to give to people who may be listening?
Just a quick shout out to everybody who's supporting us. We really appreciate it.
Silence from Bill. Okay. For Dex, for Bill, for Ty, this has been another edition of Bro Talk Live. We appreciate you guys. Continue to follow us on Instagram. Twitter is still suspended. And we will see you guys next week.
Ooh, you have a stroke?
I'm pissed that Twitter's still suspended, actually. Really pissed. Irritated.